If you'd like to send your Bibles to Psalm 18, it's great to praise the Lord together and worship the Lord together. And I'm going to read Psalm 18, which is a wonderful psalm of praise. I thought this would be suitable for our first evening celebration. Like I said this morning, what we're going to do on Sunday evenings is have on a monthly cycle, four different types of Sunday evening service. One will be a celebration, will be lots of praise and prayer and an encouragement to praise the Lord. We're going to have the Lord's Supper one Sunday evening and be more reflective. Another Sunday evening, we're going to have a time of prayer for healing. And then the other Sunday evening, we're going to be praying particularly for our mission partners overseas, but also workers in this country as well. So that's what we're going to be doing on Sunday evenings. So something slightly different than the morning service, and a bit more informal, a bit more relaxed, and lots of opportunity just to spend some time with the Lord, a bit more space, a bit more time. Psalm 18. I'm going to be looking at the Psalms from now until the summer as we do that. So Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He roared on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. Thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me the shield of your salvation and your right hand supported me. And your gentleness made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David, and his offspring forever. This is God's word. Picture an old man towards the end of his life and a believer, and how he responds to God after looking back at everything that has happened in the whole of his life. That is David as he writes this psalm. The little superscription, which the little heading of the psalm gives us the context. And the context seems to be when David is old and after God has delivered him from all his enemies, and he had a lot of enemies. Saul wanted him dead, the king. The Philistines, who were the enemies of God's people, wanted him dead. The other nations nearby who were fearful of Israel expanding wanted him dead. His son Absalom wanted him dead. A lot of people wanted him dead. Throughout his life, he had enemy after enemy after enemy. And he looks back and says, God's come through. I look back at my life and God's come through. He can be trusted. But more than that, he praises God for coming through. He praises God for who he is, for coming through for him. And he's so overcome that he has to say, I love you, Lord. You know, this is the only time, I think, in the Bible that somebody expresses love to God. At the start of Psalm 18, I love you, Lord, David says. Because the Bible isn't about us loving God. It's about God loving us. And yes, we should respond in love. But again and again, we hear about God's love towards us. But David is so overcome by the experience of God's love, he says, I have to love you. I do love you. You have established me as the King of Israel. You've come through for me again and again. And as Christians, we can take this psalm as our own. We're not kings of Israel, but we have been brought by God into his kingdom, and he will come through for us again and again. Whenever you read the psalms, you should read them, first of all, as referring to David and the ultimate David, Jesus Christ, the King. He's the head, and we are his body, kings and priests, as part of his kingdom. So this psalm refers to David, but it also refers to you and me as believers. Just as God came through for David, he'll come through for us. Just as God established him as king and establishes his kingdom, he will establish us in his kingdom forever and forever. If this psalm looks familiar, it's because it appears in 2 Samuel chapter 22 at the end of old David's fights and battles before Solomon then becomes king. But it's those three things I really want us to focus on. First of all, David looking at God and his description of God, then looking at God's deliverance, and then finally this bit of devotion that David expresses towards God. So first of all, description of God. Second, deliverance by God. Third, devotion to God. First of all, description of God. David gives us 9 descriptions of who God is here in these first couple of verses. Let me read them. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. These descriptions of God, which David expresses, are first of all concrete descriptions of God, not abstract. He doesn't just say God is big or God is strong. There's nothing wrong with teaching a 5-year-old to say God is big and God is strong, because that's true. God isn't just an abstraction to David. He's someone concrete. He's my rock. He is a fortress, a deliverer, a refuge, a shield, a horn of salvation, a stronghold, a strength. The Bible doesn't often use God in abstractions. It uses God in it describes God in concrete terms. It's not just a general God. He is a rock that can be relied upon. And David describes God in personal terms, not general. He doesn't say God is a rock, a strength, a fortress, but my rock, my fortress, my strength, my shield. He's come through for me. I've experienced him as these things in my life. And it's quite a comprehensive description of God. It's not partial, it's comprehensive. It's a description that speaks of protection and stability and security for your life. God is a strength to the weak, a rock to those who fall, a fortress to those who are vulnerable, a refuge to those who are hunted, a deliverer to those who are trapped, a great God to those who feel insignificant, a shield to those who can't fight for themselves, a horn of salvation to the unarmed, a stronghold lifting us out of the clutches of our enemies. What a description of God this is. He's powerful, he's good, and he delivers his people again and again. You see, when we experience God, we realize, like David has here, that he's more than we ever imagined he would be for us. And David looks back at his life and goes, I've always believed in you, God. From my mother's womb, I believed in you. From a child, I was brought up being taught the scriptures. But I look back at my life and go, you are far, far greater than I ever imagined you would be. Second, he describes not only God, but his deliverance. And the first part of the deliverance is his rescue from almost certain death. Verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. The picture here, I think, is of somebody drowning. He's fallen into the sea, and the weeds and the rushes and whatever else have got hold of his legs, and they're just drawing him down, and he's going to die. And from almost certain death, he cries out to God. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He cries out when he's at the point of death, and he's delivered. He's rescued. He's saved. In fact, in verses 7 to 19, we have an incredible description of God working. It's as if David takes us behind the scenes and gives us a picture of God's powerful work of rescue. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Now, this is like earthquake language, volcanic language. Smoke went up from his nostrils, a devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. It's almost like God's pictured as a dragon here. He's not ever pictured as a dragon in the Bible, but it's like, wow, God is on the move. And he's on the move to do 2 things. He's on the move to rescue. Verse 16, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, out of, you know, as I was drowning, he drew me out of that. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. He's rescuing David. And he's rescuing him because David delights in God. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. You see, God rescues the one in whom he delights. God delights in you. Not because we have it all together, not because we're good people, not because we've been nice to the people we live with today, but he delights in us because we put our trust in him and lean upon him. And God says, that is the person who I delight in. Not the person who's strong and mighty, who has it all together, who's good or cool, but the person who looks to me in their weakness and their need and cries to me for help. That is the person who I delight in. And I will rescue from every trouble and every difficulty. And I will rescue them by judging their enemies. That's this picture of glowing coals and darkness and earthquake language and volcanic language. It's God's judgment. It's always the same. The way God rescues us is by judging our enemies. The way God rescued Israel was by judging Egypt. And the ultimate judgment, which we deserved, because we were God's enemies, came on Jesus Christ, his son. And so God rescues us by judging him. And because God delighted in what his son did for us, he delights in all those who put their trust in him. God delights in you and me and will rescue you from every difficulty that you face. But not only does God rescue us, but he rewards us. God's a rewarding God. He says, deal with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. God is a God who doesn't just rescue, but gives gifts as well. He rewards his people. Those who are blameless. Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. They can come into God's presence and they can live with him forever in glory and joy and peace. Now you might say when you read this, I'm not blameless. I'm not righteous. But being righteous and blameless doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean like you always do the right thing. It means that you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, all your sin goes on him. And all his righteousness is imputed to you. It's given to you. It's counted to you. It's reckoned to you. So that when God looks at you now, he looks at an imperfect person, but through the lens of Jesus Christ, and so sees Jesus' righteousness in you. And so you are righteous. You are blameless in the sight of God. And God rewards righteousness. You know, heaven is only, the only people who will ever go to heaven are people who are righteous. But if you're putting your trust in Jesus Christ, you are righteous. And not only does God reward, but he equips. He equips for what he has called us to do. It says this in verse 30. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge. Who is the Lord and who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. God's way is perfect. There's nothing false, there's nothing wrong, and there's nothing untrue about it. Now, when we read that, we can go, wow, standards really high. You know, how can I live like this? But that's not what he's actually talking about. He is talking about God's way of being perfect. But he's also talking about the fact that through God's word, that's what he's talking about, through God's word, He perfects the way of his people. And that means that as you trust him, as you read his word, as you obey his word, he equips you by his spirit to do what he wants you to do. To fight against sin in your life. To keep his commandments. To love those people you find really tricky and difficult to love. And to keep trusting him and holding on in times that are tough. And we will be on the victorious side as God's people. He will equip us to live our lives in such a way that we will be victorious. And those who are our enemies will no longer be our enemies. Either they will be converted or they will be destroyed. That's what David talks about here. He talks about beating his enemies so that they're fine as dust and their enemies are no more. We know that through the cross, just like we were enemies of God, there are other people who are enemies of God who are brought to faith and trust in Jesus Christ as well. There will be no enemies of God in heaven. But for you and me, we can have confidence that whatever God calls us to do, he will equip us to do it. You know, sometimes I think about certain things that I have to do, certain conversations that I have to have with people, or God lays something on my heart and says, well, you've got to go and do this. And I'm like, I don't really want to do it. I don't know if you felt like that. I don't really want to talk to that person. I don't really want to do that thing, but I think it feels the right thing to do. And the Bible says, maybe I should. God will equip you. He'll equip you for tomorrow and the next day and that conversation and serving that person who's really tricky. And so finally, as David looks back at his life and sees who God is and who God has been for him and sees what God has done for him in this deliverance, he expresses his devotions to God. That's how he starts the psalm. I love you, Lord. But here at the end, in verses 46 to 50, he expresses wonderful language, just what God means. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. He's so full of joy and wonder at what God has done and who God is, he has to express it back to him. You know, that's why we worship. That's why we bless God. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it means to bless God, because we always talk about God blessing us, and he does. And what it means for us to bless God means basically worship. You see what that person is, and you give them what's required. That's what it means to bless. And for us, we're needy. We need God's help and grace. For God, you don't need help and grace because he's not needy. What's required is worship, praise, adoration. I love you, O Lord. For this I will praise you, O Lord, he says in verse 49, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. You see, David sees that other gods are dead, but our God is alive. And he shows that he's alive by delivering his people, delivering his king, and sitting him on his throne. And he's done that with Jesus Christ. How do you know that God is alive? Well, the ultimate answer is, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him on his throne in heaven, ruling over this world until one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And David says, you've done that for me. You're going to do that for the ultimate king. And all your people will become part of that kingdom forever. No wonder David loved a God like that. Don't you? Let me pray for us. Lord, you are our God, our rock. Our stronghold, our strength, our refuge, our fortress, the one who delivers us from every difficulty and trouble, from all our enemies, our sin, from those who stand against us, from the devil himself. You are delivering us, you will deliver us, and one day we will be with you in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in the gospel. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our great King, who came through death to bring in his kingdom of joy. Thank you that he's done that for us because he loves us and delights in us. Help us to respond in love and devotion too. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.